Tonight, I want to speak on the word honor from the book of Proverbs. So if you'll find chapter 3, I'm going to do some introduction so that we can walk through six principles that we have in the Word of God about honor. You don't have to turn to this passage, and we're going to use our Bibles in the book of Proverbs tonight, but in chapter 29, verse 23, the Bible says, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." So what are we after in this message? We are after honoring God with our lives. We want to honor God with our lives every single day. And I want to tell you, that takes tremendous discipline. It takes tremendous concentration on every decision that you make, every decision that you allow your growing up children to make that's in your home. All of this comes to honor. The word honor, or honored, or honoreth, is found over 20 times in the book of Proverbs. And when I give you these stats, I don't give you the stats for you to go on your phone and start counting the words, okay? That's not what you do. You can do that on your own time. If I've miscounted, you can tell me. But right now, I want you to focus in and listen to a message about honor that I believe every church member needs in our church. Honor is like many Hebrew words. It has a good meaning and it has a bad meaning. When you look at this word honor, it's in a bad sense, it means to become burdensome or severe. It's translated dull. And then on the good sense of this word honor, it simply means weighty or splendor or abundance. It has to do always with, and I found this in my study, with riches and glory. And riches does not always speak in the Bible about treasurable riches. It's other rich riches that we need. Here's the main idea about this word honor. And that is, in the good sense, it displays the splendor of godly character in the everyday life of a surrendered and disciplined believer. So when we look at this word, even though there's forms of this word in other Hebrew words, when we look at it in the book of Proverbs, we're looking at the good sense of the word, first of all, and it is going to allow us to display the splendor of godly character through our lives. We're going to allow Christ to live through us, and that's going to bring honor and glory to Him. We hear people use these words together quite often, honor and glory. So believers who are not burdensome to others, but rather a blessing, take on the characteristics that we will find in this passage of Scripture tonight about honor. To honor God is to bring glory to Him in everything we do in life. Now, we know that that's a New Testament principle. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, the Bible says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." Proverbs does not suggest that we think about being honorable people. Proverbs assumes that if we are believers, we will develop being honorable in our life. So it's a presumption that drives us to a discipline so that we can be sure that we're doing what that word demands of us. And that's really the goal in this message tonight, is to get you to see the value of this word honor and how it's used in those 21 verses. And we're only going to look at a few of them. Some of them overlapped, and some of them referred to the life of a king, a literal reigning king. But we're going to look at six of them tonight, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. And I hope you'll write them down. They're worth writing down and researching even more than what you just hear me say about them tonight. Areas in our life that this word addresses is quite overwhelming. It deals with personal relationships. It deals with morals. It deals with ethics. It deals with honesty. It deals with anger. It deals with clothing. And it deals with our giving. All of those things are centered around the word honor. So when you look at those things, I mean, that's everyday life, is it not? Everyday life. It goes right down to the clothes that we put on our bodies. So we're looking at a word that talks about personal relationships with one another, morality between one another, ethics and honesty. When you look at all of that, you see that this is a big word. It's a real small word, even in the Hebrew language, but it's really a big word. It carries a lot of power. That's why I wish every church member would be able to hear the message and really do the research on the words. So in this message, as we look at these six proof texts that help us with our character, we will see that they become the benchmarks that we should have in our life. Now, I want to tell you something right now. I had to measure up. I had to say, wow, I've not been very honorable in that area of my life. It's a real heart-searching message. It's going to set us on edge a little bit, which will be good for us as we look at it. Now, we'll take them in order, beginning in chapter 3. And the first one in order, and I was going to put it down in the outline a little bit further, but then I want you just to be able to progress through the book of Proverbs without having to go back and forth. So if you got your Bibles open to chapter 3, I want you to look beginning in verse number 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Obviously, here's the first thought. Honor is always reflected in our giving. In our giving, and I'm talking about giving to the Lord. The first fruits brought to the storehouse, given in the Old Testament. We do not have a storehouse, an Old Testament storehouse, but we do have a local church. So giving comes right into play right out of chapter 3. It's important that we all do right in this matter of giving to the Lord. Look at the second one, and I want to spend some time on the second one. You get the first one, but I tell you what, we can start struggling from here out. And the second one is simply, honor is always tied to wisdom. Let me prove that to you. Honor is always tied to wisdom. Chapter 4, verse 7, a few pages forward. And notice what verse 7 says. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Now, may I stop here and make a comment? In this context, wisdom and understanding are interchangeable. It's the same thing. Notice what it says in verse 8. Exalt her. Her is wisdom. All right, so it's a throwback. It's what I call a throwback adjective. It goes back to the previous verse. And she, speaking about wisdom, shall promote thee. You're not to promote yourself. You don't have to do that. Wisdom takes care of that. Now watch it carefully. She shall bring thee to honor. Bring you to a place of honor in which you can say, by your lifestyle, that you are displaying a characteristic of a surrendered believer. Notice what else the rest of the verse says. When thou dost embrace her. So it's an option. Wisdom becomes an option. Not everyone that gets saved grows. They do not become very wise. Some make very little progress. They do not have a good church home. Perhaps they do not have a good method of studying the Bible. Maybe they do not have proper study helps. Maybe they're led astray by a cult. Maybe someone in their family pulls them to in another direction. Whatever it might be. But when we look at honor, It was always tied to wisdom in all of my research in the book of Proverbs. We have to make up our mind that we want honor. We want to honor God in our lives. We have to make our mind up to that. It's a discipline. We have to pay attention to every choice and every decision that we make or that we allow our children to make. We're talking about showing wisdom. Wisdom should not be gained after your mistakes in life. Wisdom can be gained through discernment, and you can reach forth and you do not have to have the bad experience. Exercising wisdom, becoming a wise Christian. And that's what allows us. How many times have we said this when we've been around someone that's very, very wise? And I've been around a lot of people, and we have them in this church, in this room, very wise people. And I walk away from that, and I say sometimes to myself, I wish I had the ability to think the way they were thinking about that. I'd never considered it like that before. And many, many times I find myself doing that. Godly people who have godly wisdom about them. And when we make decisions based on wisdom beyond our years, we say that quite often. And sometimes wisdom is yours, it's given to you, but you don't trust the wisdom of the Bible. There's been times when I didn't trust the wisdom of the Bible, that it didn't sound right to me, that I didn't think that there was a danger about what I was thinking about doing or making that decision. But I learned later it was very dangerous. It could bring great hurt to me, my family, my children, my grandchildren. And so when we look at this word honor, if we're going to bring honor and glory to God in our lives, we're going to have to exercise wisdom and understanding. And that means that we have to be ahead of Satan and ahead of sin and way beyond the curve of that, or else we'll find ourselves in a moment of heartbreak and disappointment with our kids, with our own decisions. We'll be disgusted with ourselves. We'll be mad at ourselves. Why did I do that? I know better than that. Wisdom, this matter of honor is critical. It really does go to how we live our life every day. Now I want you to notice back in verse 7, it says wisdom is the principal thing. And the Hebrew word principal means that it is the first in line. It is first in time, first in order, first in rank. It should be the chief thing. It's the idea of chapter 3 when it talks about the first fruits. That's the principal thing. So principal is at the top. The principle of wisdom is at the top of the totem pole. It's the principal thing. If wisdom is in the middle of your totem pole or at the bottom, and you're always going to be learning by your mistakes, and you're not going to have enough advanced wisdom to see that that's going to be a bad decision, whether it's about a moral issue or a financial issue or an ethical issue, you've got to be looking way ahead. The hands of wisdom wants to give us honor all the time. Go back to chapter 3 and look at verses 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. That says a lot in the context of what we're studying here tonight. So what have we said? We said two things out of six. Number one, honor. And honoring God is reflected in our giving. Most of us can pass that test very easily. Honor is always tied to wisdom. Would the decisions that you're making today, would they be filled full of wisdom? We have so many things on our plate that we have to make a decision about that are so many unknown factors that we need God to help us with that. We do not need our logic. As smart as we are, with high IQs, That is not God's wisdom. Our humanistic training that we have had in the culture in which we grew up with has tainted our minds. And not only that, but the way we grow up, it taints our minds. For instance, I've heard parents say, well, I'm going to let my kids do this because I did it and I turned out okay. Well, you're not your child. You're taking a huge risk to do that. Wisdom slows down and says, you know, let me see the whole picture here, as much as I possibly can see about this, before I just give the rope and let out the rope. Honor is always tied to wisdom. Let me share a third principle from the book of Proverbs, and that's in chapter 5. And that's simply, honor is always forfeited when we yield to lust. Look at verse 7 of chapter 5. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. This is God speaking. Do not depart from the words of my mouth. Do not depart from my word, my commandments. And they had a basket full of them in the Old Testament. Look at verse 8. Remove thy way far from her. Now, if you look in the context, this is speaking about a strange woman. Now, the strange woman is the harlot. She's not strange because you don't know her. She's strange because of her character, her dark side, her immorality, what she's after. And by the way, men are this way also. So it can apply to both genders. Remove thy way far from her and come not nigh the door of her house. Be careful. Don't even put yourself in that situation. May I say, don't put your children in that situation. Most adults cannot handle temptation in that area, much less a teenager that's in exploratory mode. We have to be wiser than this. We have to go to this matter of honoring God with our thinking so that our decisions will be right. Lest thou give thine honor to others. Look at verse 9. Unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Is that what you want? You want to give that honor away? And that's what happens. Honor. This honor is the same honor that we'll see in Proverbs 31 of the virtuous woman. It's the two times, maybe three times, that it's used in the Bible, in this book, where it means comeliness. The idea is beauty. It's the excellency of character. It's preserving the glory. That's what it goes to. It's the majesty of innocence and purity. You give that away when that happens. Married people give their honor away when a spark of chemistry happens with the opposite gender. Married people do that. That spark happens at work. It happens walking down the street. It happens in church. Human beings, they're sparked. Something triggers inside them when they see the opposite gender. We have to be careful. Let that chemistry go. Flirting starts. Hanging out starts. Sharing private family information starts. Texting starts. Sharing pictures through texting starts. Then the meeting, touching, petting, adultery, fornication. Simple. Those are the steps. No one falls into fornication or immorality. They step in it a little at a time. And wise people who want to honor God think beyond the pressures that their flesh puts on them, or someone else puts on them, or their children and or grandchildren puts on them, and they're able to sift through that, and after sifting through it, they can see the dangers of it. And they're willing to take a stand because they know that honor is always forfeited when we yield to lust. That's why Jesus warned about spiritual adultery. So purity, comeliness is all would all be given up. Lest thou give thine honor unto others. When we look at it in the context of this chapter, that's why parents need to talk to their children about lust. And early. Don't wait till they're 18. Early in their life. Better be talking to them about it because it's happening in their mind and in their heart. You have to start very, very early in our culture today. Honor will cause good people to forfeit, or lust will cause good people to forfeit their honor to God. It breaks God's heart, and it should break ours when we look at it from this standpoint. That's why we have to warn ourselves constantly. That's why you hear people talk about it at work. You know, so-and-so is now going out with so-and-so, and they're married, and he's married, and she's married, and all the rumors and all the garbage starts. We have it here in our church, in our youth department, in our school. All the rumors start. We have to be extremely careful. Children that are at an unmarriageable age, wise parents honor God with their decisions and their choices in that department with their family. If not, heartache will come. This verse will come to fruition, I promise you, and it is heart-wrenching when it comes. It divides people who used to be the best of friends on the ball team. It divides people who used to sit in the same church, go to the same school. It's divisionary. It has to be dealt with properly. I told you not all of them were easy. Let me give you number four. It's found in chapter 15. Would you turn there with me? Here is the fourth one. Honor is always preceded by humility. Look at verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. There's that word wisdom again. You'll see wisdom and understanding. You'll see it just come up over and over and over again. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. What is humility? The Greek word humility means to step down, to condescend, to become gentle, lowly, meek. Honor, honoring God with our lives. It's preceded. No one full of pride will ever honor God. They'll never bring honor to God with their pride. And we are raised very proud of ourselves, our accomplishments. We become very proud. We have high expectations of ourselves, of our families. When those things fall to the ground, it makes the heart sick. The Bible is very clear about that. Honor and humility are linked together throughout the Holy Scriptures, especially in this book. Now you're close there. Turn forward to chapter 18. Let me show you this verse to prove this. Here's text verses to prove this. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. Show me someone that does not want to honor God with their lives. Show me someone who yields to lust. I'll show you someone who has absolutely zilch when it comes to humility. They're full of themselves, and all they want is what they want in life. It's the wrong way to live. You get that blood and that juice flowing in your children and your grandchildren, and you will have nothing but heartache. Turn to chapter 22. Let me show you another one. These are strong verses. By humility, verse 4 says, and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor. Remember the word riches? Not always talking about treasures. Riches, honor, and life. The fact of just enjoying life. Go to chapter 29 and look at verse 33. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. All of these verses deal with humility, deals with a broken and contrite heart. All of these verses do. Let me sound another warning. And I love you, I'm your pastor. I love you, and I'm doing this because I care, because I get scared to death with what I see. I beg you, parents and grandparents that are listening to this message, I beg you to don't think for a moment that you're an exemption to these verses, that your children are, that your grandchildren are. I'm telling you, the best of Christians gets caught in this web. And we have to be so careful. So what have we said? We've said 4 of 6 things. We've said honor is reflected in our giving. We've said honor is always tied to wisdom. We've proven that by Scripture. We have proven by Scripture that honor is always forfeited when you yield to lust. Notice I didn't say commit immorality. I said yield to lust. James 1, it's all about that. Honor, I said fourthly, is always preceded by humility. People who are full of themselves are people who get in trouble. Now let me share with you a fifth one. And that is honor always helps a man control his temper. A woman too. Turn with me to chapter 20, verse 3. And notice what the Bible says. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. It's an honor for a man to cease from strife, control his temper. Your temper is so valuable, you should never lose it. That's how precious it should be to you. The word strife is a Hebrew term. It's a legal term in the Hebrew language. And it means to bring up a controversy. It means that, hey, I want to argue this out. And it goes all the way to the suit that's filed over it. That's what this word strife is. When you see two lawyers engaging to convince a jury or a judge, they are striving against one another. They're doing their best to prove their case. Strife is when we're always caught up in a controversy. There's always drama. Your life can never be enjoyable. Your life, there's no joy of the Lord. There's always a fight. There's always a problem. There's always a challenge. And there's never any real length of joy in your life. And you just go from one crisis to another trying to manage them. And it's so important that we get beyond that. We can't be people who strive with one another at home, with our fellow people that we work with, people that we know, the in-laws. It is an honor for a man to cease. It's honorable for a man to back away even when he's red hot inside. We've all been there. Strife. It's a strong word. Now, usually the word meddling, if you look at it there in verse 3, usually we would think that word would be sticking our nose where it doesn't belong, and that's not what this word means at all. This meddling means that you're willing to break out in a verbal quarrel about it. You're willing to even go to fisticuffs about it. You're so angry. You're so upset. You're so mad. Our children see that and our grandchildren see that. What does it teach them? It teaches them that you should get mad and become a smart aleck all your life. If you think you're going to get ahead in life that way, you are a fool. That's not the way it works. That's foolish to think that. Just because you can out-talk someone and that you're on top, we have to let that stuff go if we're not careful, full of meddling. We're looking for an argument. We're looking for a fight. Honor is reflected in our giving. It's always tied to wisdom. It's forfeited when we yield to lust. It's preceded by humility. It helps a man control his temper. But turn with me to Proverbs 31. And now we read two beautiful verses in the Bible. And it's talking about the virtuous woman. The last thing that I want to say is, honor is always seen in the virtuous woman. She just knows what to say and how to say it every single time. She controls herself. She's not failing in these areas. She's an honorable woman. Who can find them? Who can find a virtuous woman? The reason that question is asked is because there's not too many. The reason the question is asked is because they're hard to find. A virtuous woman. And what is her price? Far above rubies. She's valuable. Now, the Bible's not talking about her being valuable in the sense of having a big IRA or actually having rubies in her jewelry box. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about her character. It's talking about her, are you ready for this? Honor. She has it all together. One of the most honorable ladies that I ever met in my ministry that ever worked in our school was in Mannington, West Virginia. Her name was Carolyn Lane. She was an honorable woman, wasn't she, Mom? I'm telling you, I was amazed. That woman, godly woman, taught me more as a young pastor, as our principal, than anyone taught me in the span of the 4 years that she was with us. She's still living. Retired school teacher. She had beautiful handwriting. Now, I'm not saying that every woman that has beautiful handwriting is honorable, but she had the most beautiful handwriting. But she was so wise, wiser than I ever thought about being. I listened to her. I learned so much from her. And I told her when she left and moved to Greenville, South Carolina, how much I appreciated her, and wrote her a letter and told her how much I've learned just watching her and listening to her. Listening to her counsel, she was a very godly, virtuous woman. Her price was far above rubies. We couldn't pay her enough money. Unbelievable. Now here's our word. Look at, drop down now. We're going to sandwich this here together. Drop down to verse 25. Strength and honor are her, you tell me. Clothing. I told you this word honor gets into our life. And she shall rejoice in time to come. Everything about her, not only did she get up for her house, not only did she make the meals, not only did she make the clothes, she worked tirelessly in the culture in which she labored. And she did it while rejoicing. She didn't loaf it. Got to fix breakfast again for the brats. She didn't have that spirit. She loved her children. She cherished them. This word honor is the word magnificent. It's the idea of an ornament making something beautiful. It's the word splendor, beauty, comeliness, excellency, glorious, and goodly. All of those are synopsis of the word. It's a synopsis of the word. It's an amazing word. So let me say something about clothing. It's important that you use three words when you dress yourself. And that's all of us, men included. Modesty, morality, and appropriateness. Those are just three wise words. Two of them are biblical. Appropriateness goes, of course, to time and place, what we're doing. I'm just saying to you, it matters what we wear. And I want to encourage you, mothers, that it matters about your choices when you stand at the clothing rack and what you put on. Because what you put on, if you have daughters, they're going to want to take that half away when they stand before it. So you just need to be wise. Beyond your desire to have designer fashion, be at the top of the totem pole. What should be at the top of the totem pole? Wisdom. Not design, not worldliness, not fashion. Wisdom is at the top. When wisdom gets pushed down, we dress as we please. So we have to be cautious about it. You just have to use good judgment. I'm not here to tell you how to dress. I am here to say be modest. It's a Bible word. I can say that. Be moral when you dress. Don't be immoral. Be appropriate when you dress. This is good guidelines. You're mature. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you how to dress. It's not my business. But it is my business to tell you that you should be moral about your dress. It is my business for me to say, be modest as the Bible commands us to be modest. And be appropriate. You got little eyes watching you. It's important. So, I have 2 minutes to conclude. I want to ask some questions. These are sobering. I want you to think with me. Does your life, does my life, and I'm putting myself in the mix, do we honor God? All right, let me ask some questions. Do you give God, first of all, the first fruits, or do you give him the leftovers? It's a good question. We're commanded to give him the first fruits. That's at the top. Everything we do is at the top. You'll have to decide what your top is. You have to live with your conscience. I'm not going to make that choice for you, but you need to make it and you need to live with it because one day it'll face you at the judgment. Second question. Do I lack wisdom? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and he shall be given him. Good question to ask yourself. How do I respond to lust? Because all of you, including myself, we all do. This is a sin. We have to turn our eyes. We have to discipline ourselves. We have to make ourselves. Honorable people do that. Because we're prone. We're bent to it. How do I respond to lust? If you're glaring and taking looks, be careful. It goes both ways, too. Here's the next question. Do others see me as a humble person? How do they look at me? Am I arrogant? Always pushing my agenda? How do others see me? Do they see me as a humble person? Here's number six. Am I easily angered? Do I struggle with my anger? Am I quick to get into a quarrel, an argument? Another question, do I choose my clothing from a standpoint of biblical modesty, morality, and appropriateness? Am I teaching that to my children? These are just sobering questions that deal with this matter of honor. And I want to help us. I want our church to honor God. How bad would it be tonight if I stood up here and said, you know, let's just dishonor God this week? Take your tithe and go down to the, what's that place called? Hoosier Park? Use your tithe at the one-armed bandits and then bring it all in. You'd think I need some strong mind cure if I preach that. Or let's go rob a bank. Bank's got a lot of money. Let's go get a $500,000. We would dare not think that. But isn't there a verse in the Bible? Would a man rob God? It's amazing. How we respond, how we make every choice, every decision. Would God be honored with the pictures on your Facebook? Pictures on your phone? Pictures on your children's phone? Would he be honored? Is there going to be this much about honor in the Bible where it talks about everything from morals to ethics to the clothes we put on, and we want to throw it out and say it's not important? We'd be foolish to do that. Now we're going to pick and choose what we're going to believe about the Bible? We have to take it all. How humble do we show ourselves at work, with our family, with our children? When is the last time when you did get angry and say things that you shouldn't, that you went back and apologized for it and got it right? Or did you just let it go? It's so important for us to have a conscience before God. We want to honor Him. So tonight, the next time you read through the book of Proverbs and you see this word honor pop up all over the place, and I trust that you would take these points down, that you've written them down, and that you would ask your children these questions. This is good stuff for your devotions that you can help your children with. If you're wise. But if you're not wise, you're going to take a huge gamble. And I've watched good people do it. And I've watched them sit in their home with their hands and their face in their hands weeping. It's hard on a pastor when you hear words like, "Pastor, I knew you was telling the truth. I wish I'd have done it. I wish I would have listened." I've heard them too many times. If we're going to be honorable people, we want our church to grow, we want to be sure that we're humble and right before God, then it starts right here with this group of people examining their own lives. Are you an honorable Christian? Where do you stand in the ranks? Pretty strong, isn't it? It's not impossible to stand in the right place. It's not impossible to say, Lord, I need you to help me with my anger, my lust. He does. He hears us. I need you to help me with my choices in life. I need you to help me with my giving. I need you to help me with these things. He will. He does. And he'll give you wisdom way beyond your years. Listen, don't be afraid of the pressure that comes on you. Don't be afraid of that. No violin makes beautiful music without tightening those strings down tight, almost to a snap. It's good for us to be tightened. It's good for us to be pressured. It helps us so that we can begin seeing that, hey, I didn't think about it this way before. I think we better back up. Parents in this room need to get home, and husbands and wives better do some talking about helping your children. The family series is coming, and it will not change from the one I did 8 years ago when I first got here. It's going to be same principles. God help us. If we're going to be a growing, strong church, we need to have honorable members. And it's not too much to ask God to give us honorable members. It's not too much. It's not too high of expectation. God helps us with it. He enables us by his grace to be honorable. May God help us be that way. I love you tonight. Would you stand with me, please?